I am a looming scandal. Trevor, Marquis of Tavistock, had learned in recent years how to decipher the arcane dialect of the solicitor, and yet he was confounded, and not a little angered, by the figures on the page.
"My lord overstates the situation."
Across the gleaming mahogany table, Giles Purvis tidied a half-dozen documents into a stack.
"By the current standards of the peerage, you're in fine fettle. You own an enviable number of assets, but are plagued by a temporary shortage of revenue, which you are ideally situated to address. Had you tarried in France another few years, one might not be as sanguine."
How could Purvis be anything but sanguine when his office boasted walls hung in burgundy silk? Aubusson carpets, chosen to complement that staid hue, and furniture as well upholstered and substantial as the solicitor himself. "Let's have another look at the list of properties," Trevor said, shifting on a chair built to accommodate shorter frames. "Most are familiar to me, but some of the smaller ones have escaped my notice in recent years, as had apparently the state of their finances." Purvis sorted through his papers and passed over a single page.
"That's in order of size, though not necessarily in order of value. Larger properties can require more maintenance, or have less land under cultivation. The bigger the dwelling, the smaller the market for potential leaseholds, and mortgage terms varied with the fortunes of war."
Trevor's finger stopped halfway down a list of about a dozen properties. Mortgage terms? He had a healthy dread of mortgages, and the people who offered them. If his father had had one redeeming feature, if, being the operative word, Papa had at least bequeathed to his heir a solvent marquisate.
"Why, yes, my lord," Purvis beamed at him patiently. "A mortgage is when a bank or other lender provides money, a sort of loan, and takes a security interest in a real property as a guarantee of repayment. Your father arranged for mortgages on the Yorkshire land and nearly paid them off. We've renegotiated the terms since his death. The Tavistock seat and the other entailed assets are not mortgaged, because those would be harder to sell. Your heir would have to agree to break the entail, and in the present circumstance..."
Purvis trailed off delicately and reshuffled his stack. "I comprehend the concept of a mortgage, Purvis, and the present circumstances referred to Trevor's bachelor status, though a cousin of sorts, racketing about on the continent, served as the Tavistock heir presumptive. What of this Twidborough Hall?" Trevor asked as a clerk brought in a tea tray. Jones was sandy-haired, soft-spoken, and good with figures. "I can't think of any reason I'd need to bide in Berkshire, when I own a monstrosity in Surrey. Why not sell Twidborough Hall?"
"One could," Purvis replied, steepling his fingers and tapping his thumbs together. "But Twidborough Hall is a self-sustaining little jewel, barely a day's ride from town. The De Witts have been good tenants, insofar as they pay their rent timely and haven't burned the place down. Twidborough will hold its value and might make a perfect dower property 20 years hence, while some of the others..."
Financial discussions were necessary when one had wealth, but part of the joy of biding in France had been distance from the solicitors, bankers, tenants, and other plagues intent on blighting a fellow's freedom. Trevor, nonetheless, grasped his duty, and further grasped that he'd ignored that duty for too long. Stepmama never chided him, but her letters always included passing references to time flying, and this or that splendid match getting off to a fine start. He thus endured the item-by-item review of his holdings, something he should have insisted on when he'd made his annual gallops through London. He'd instead contented himself for most of the past decade with glancing at reports and tossing them into a drawer.